Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, May the 20th, 1984. We trust the Lord will really speak to our hearts as we worship together on this beautiful Lord's Day. God bless you. Today I'm going to be giving my testimony of what the Lord has done for me during the last 48 years. And this song that the choir is going to sing today says, I love to tell the story. And this is my theme, I guess, today, my testimony. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his life. Brother Tom comes to lead the choir.
Thank you.
sure good to see Miss Hanks here today. Glad she's here. That's an answer to prayer. And we also want to lift up in prayer this week Bill Maggard, who lives right out the street here. He was injured yesterday in a fire, and he is in Florida, I know, right now in the in the UK Medical Center in Lexington, in their burn unit. So let's be praying for Bill and his wife Lou Ann and their family. We want Brother P.H. Combs to come up at this time to read our scripture and lead us in prayer. We also want to continue to pray for Anna Campbell. We got a letter from her this week, and Amadale is sending tapes of our morning worship service to her, and also to Lucy and John Talby. She sent one to them already, and we're going to do that each week, and trust the service will be a blessing to them. Brother Combs, you kind of read our scripture for us at this time and lead us in prayer.
I find the scripture this morning, 2 Timothy one, 8-12. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but do thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to the works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For thee which came I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." This is Paul's second letter to Timothy. Let us have a word of prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, our God in heaven, we know that thou art God and there is none other. We're thankful that you can be here with us this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and none other. We are so thankful that we can call upon the Lord while he is nigh, and we can know that you're here with us this day. We're so thankful that we can call upon him at any time, day or night, and we can know that he will hear our prayers if they're prayed in faith and believing without any doubt. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can know that We are so thankful for these wonderful words here that Paul has this morning when he says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Lord, we pray now that you will be here with us in this service today, and let the power of the Holy Spirit have its way in each one that's not saved, Lord. And we ask that you comfort the sick people this morning, especially will you burden our hearts this morning for the ones who are lost, that we might do something or say something to cause them to accept Christ as our personal Savior. In his wonderful name this morning we ask this prayer. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymnal, let's turn to page 305. Let's sing the first, second, and fourth stanzas of Lead Me to Calvary, 305.
Continue to be with us in this service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Linda, for that beautiful song. This time, Tom and Fred are going to come to sing two songs that have meant a lot to me and my Christian life. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And also, without Him, I could do nothing.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without Him, I would be doomed, like a ship without a sail. Turn Him away.
two wonderful songs. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. That should be the testimony of each one of us who are saved. Because every day we're getting closer to our eternal home. And we thank God today for all that He's already done in this service. My heart's desire in this message is that the Lord Jesus Christ will be magnified. We want to take as our key verse, one of our key verses, 2 Timothy 1:12 that Brother Combs read for us. Paul said, "For this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." There's also another verse we'd like to have as our, one of our key verses, Philippians 1:20. Paul said that Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I know whom I have believed. Let's pray before we get into the message. Father, we thank Thee this morning for all that You have done, all You're going to do in our lives as we seek to serve Thee here in this world. Father, we ask Your blessing upon each and every precious soul who is here in this service, and also those who will be listening by means of our tape ministry. Father, we ask Your blessing upon each one, and Lord, may Your will be done in our lives as we just look to Thee daily for strength and courage and grace to keep on keeping on. We know Your grace is certainly sufficient. We ask Your blessing, Lord, again upon Bill Maggard, and we pray for Anna Campbell today too, Lord, Your blessing upon her and upon John and Lucy Talby, for Mrs. Barker, both Mrs. Barkers. Pray for both of them, Lord, today, Your blessing. We pray for our visitors who are here in our service today, Lord, and for each one of us as we fellowship together. May Your precious Holy Spirit be used to illuminate our minds, and may each one of us, Lord, receive a blessing from having come this way on this beautiful Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, today, anything of eternal worth that has happened in my life is all because of Jesus. It's all because of Him. He is the one who's made life worth living. In fact, someone said it like this: it would have been better not to have been born physically in the first place than not to be born again. And I praise the Lord today that one day I saw my need of the Lord, and I was born again. One of our verses in Sunday school this morning said, "You know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We're here today. We may be gone tomorrow. D.L. Moody told about a minister who was getting the message ready for Sunday, and he fell asleep. And he dreamed about hearing the devil and his followers talk. And they were telling what to do about people on the earth. And one said, "I'll go tell men and women that the Bible is not the Word of God." Another one said, "I'll go tell them that God does not exist, that Christ was only a good man, and that there is no heaven and hell." And all these responses to these were negative. And finally, a third one said, as he talked with the devil, and the minister overheard him here in his dream that he had, "I'll go tell the people that there is a God, that there is a Savior, there is a heaven, and there is a hell. But I'll get them to think they've got all the time in the world to be saved. I'll encourage them to put it off and put it off." And they all agreed that this was it. And I believe the devil today is lulling many people to sleep. They think they have every time in the world to be saved. But the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. God says don't wait. The devil says procrastinate. Put off. I came into this world January 21st, 1936. The sixth child in a family of 11 children. I was raised to work. As soon as I was able, big enough, I was working in the cornfield. Many of you today, you younger ones, don't know what grubbing is. But I was raised to grub. Many a time, Dad would have us clean off a new ground. In fact, one time we cleaned off 2 or 3 acres and just raised corn on it once or twice. My dad believed that an idle mind was a devil's workshop. My birth certificate said that I was born alive on that date that I've given to you. But you know what? I was born wrong the first time. Until I came to know right from wrong, I was as sure for heaven as if I were already there. But when I came to know right from wrong, then's when I need a Savior. And I realized that pretty early in life. My dad was an old regular Baptist preacher for about 40-some years. And he loved the Lord with all his heart, I know that. And even though my dad never did witness to me, from his lips, as far as I know, he never did say, "Son, you need the Lord. Son, you need to be saved today." I never do remember him saying that to me, but I do remember this. The life that my dad lived in front of me. Many a Sunday, I have walked miles behind my dad going to church. And we thought nothing of it. I don't remember my dad witnessing to me, but I remember his life that he lived in front of me. I was 34 years old when my dad passed away, and he was only 68. Early in life, I learned a lot about the Bible. I said 200 Bible verses to go to Camp Nathaniel, and I didn't get to go after all. I knew that someday I was going to die. I knew I needed the Lord in my life. And I told the Lord even before I was saved, "Lord, help me to be the first one in my family to die. I fear death." When I was about 8 years old, my older brother, who was 2 years older than I, he and I had a quarrel one Saturday morning. And he went to help get the mill started where they ground corn every Saturday. I've helped get that mill started a minute at a time. My brother was pulling the belt to get the motor started. And his coat got caught in the belt, and it curled him right along on the belt. And he hit the mill box where the mill came out and knocked him out from Saturday morning till Tuesday, unconscious. You know what I thought of when I heard about him getting hurt? The quarrel we had that morning. Death came very close to our family then. He could have been killed easily. Another time death loomed on the horizon. My cousin and I graduated from high school in 1950. Graduated from grade school, that is, in 1950. And he told me, "I'm not going to high school." And sure enough, he didn't. My cousin, Buford Caldwell, died that summer of a brain tumor. And in a sense, I feel a little bit responsible for his death. I gave him the measles. And from that, he got sick. I came home after going to the funeral and lying in the back room at the old home place down on Camel's Creek. And I thought, what is it like to die? I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready. I was 14 years old then. So I'm glad to say this morning that many times I heard my name in prayer as I tried to cover up my head to keep from hearing my dad and mom pray for me. Fall of 1950, my brother who got injured at the mill, he and I started the high school and graduated in May of 1954. We worked our way through Lee's College in Jackson, where we graduated in 1956. But you know, between my freshman and sophomore year at Lee's College, in the summer of 1955, my oldest sister, Grace, came home from Camp Nathaniel, where I had never been before in my whole life. I hadn't been out of Perry County, much less over in Knott County, hardly, up till then. But you know what? She came home on the 4th of July, that 4th of July morning, and was going to take a lot of our family over to Camp Nathaniel. My sister Grace had been praying for me. She was almost like a mother to most of us other children, taking care of us and helping Mom out all she could. And she'd been giving me books to read. I remember the first book I read was Winky Lost in the Rockies, about a little boy who got lost in the Rocky Mountains. And he was a lost man physically, a lost boy rather, physically as well as spiritually. But he met the Lord as a result of being lost. My sister was praying for me as she gave me Christian books to read. As I said, I'd never been to Camp Nathaniel in my life. I was a 19-year-old, soon-to-be sophomore in college. But you know that day, July the 4th, 1955, was a day of days in my life. We all went to Camp Nathaniel, and during the service, especially during the invitation, my oldest brother was sitting right beside of me, and I looked over at him during the invitation, and he was sitting there with his head bowed. I knew he was praying for his younger brother. I knew that. In fact, after I walked down the aisle during that invitation, I found there were about 20 or 30 people in that service praying for me. Some of the workers at Camp Nathaniel were praying for me. And that day, from that day till this, I've never been the same since. I've not been the Christian I should have been many times, I'm sure. But I tell you, the Lord has never left me from that moment until this. About 12 o'clock on the 4th of July, 1955, until right now. The Lord has been with me every second of every day, of every night. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I said, my brother and I graduated from Lee's College in 1956. I got a scholarship to Center College in Danville and went there for 1 year. But that is the only year out of 5 years of college that I did not work at anything else besides going to school. I even had a maid come in and fix the bed if I wanted her to. I was living on Easy Street, but you know what? That was a year that I made the worst grades in school. Out of the 5 years, I did not apply myself. And so while school was going on that year, I took a train ride all the way to Greenville, South Carolina. I had 35 cents in my pocket, I believe it was. My dad worked on the L&N Railroad, and I got a free pass to Greenville, South Carolina, all the way back to Danville, Kentucky. I knew when I walked on Bob Jones University campus, that was where I was going to go to school the last 2 years of my college. And so that's where I went. And many a morning, I was janitor for one of the grade school buildings there at the academy, Bob Jones Academy. And many a morning, at 5:30 in the morning, I would be sweeping floors and so forth. And I would catch myself thinking about being in front of people and giving out the word. I just let my imagination, that was the Lord working on me. Friends, I tell you, the Lord, I believe in being called to preach. God is able to supply every need. My mom said she'd rather have one of her sons preaching than President of the United States. In fact, I'd rather be here this morning than in President Reagan's chair up in Washington. Because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm in God's will right here on this Sunday morning. God is able to call people as missionaries if we'll listen, if we'll let Him speak to our hearts. And as I've said here many times, the Lord, somewhere in the message each and every morning, each and every Sunday morning, or whenever we meet for worship, the Lord is going to somewhere in the message speak to you individually. I don't know where it's going to be. But I know this, we just need to listen and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. I began working at Camp Nathaniel during the summertime. I worked there 7 or 8 straight summers, I believe it was. And one of those summers I spoke at a campfire service one night. They used to have campfire services every Wednesday night at Camp Nathaniel, plus a big campfire on Friday night. The Lord continued to work in my life. In July of 58, I preached my first real sermon. The one at the campfire was a sermonette. But you know, in July of 58, I went to Youth Leadership Conference at Camp Nathaniel. And they somehow chose me to preach during the Sunday morning service at Big Branch Fellowship Chapel in Knott County. When I found out I was going to have to preach on Sunday, I walked to the top of the hill at Camp Nathaniel, just me and the Lord. I got away from everybody else, and there the Lord helped me to put together a sermon. I guess I preached it here before, on knowing the Lord as a Christian, growing as a Christian, showing our Christian life. That's not the last sermon I ever preached. 14 times 52 times 2. I don't know how many sermons that adds up. But I've not preached that many here, probably, with the revivals we've had and so forth, visiting preachers. But I know this, your pastor today needs prayer. And I trust you hold me up in prayer. I stand here today to praise the Lord. The first song we sang today was, "To God Be the Glory. Great things He hath done." As I said, I feared death early in life. Death entered our home on May the 17th, 1970. when my dad died over here in the Hazard Hospital on Sunday afternoon. Just to show you what God can do. Now, I didn't do this. God did it. Just to show you what God did, the Lord helped me to come back to Airport Gardens Baptist Church that night with my dad in the Engel Funeral Home. His body was there. He was gone to heaven. The Lord helped me to come back and speak in church that night. I knew Dad would not want me to stay out of church because he had gone to heaven. And so right here I was with God upholding me. As you know, death came into our home again. And death is going to come into our home again. And again, and again. Death is an appointment. On April 18th of 72, death entered our home on a Tuesday morning. I had a lot of help. A lot of prayers were going up to the throne of grace. I know that as much as I'm in this house today. Timmy was 6 years old and Wanda was 2. But you know what? The Lord did not leave me 1 second. Not one time did He leave me. Not once. I was chief cook and bottle washer for almost 2 years. Until the Lord brought Myrna into my life in the fall of 73. I guess it was the summer maybe of 73. We went to see the Book of Job, the first date we had. And I had to look at the back of her head all the way to Pineville. She rode with Brother Jarvis, you know. Y'all remember Brother Jarvis? That wasn't the first date we've had. I mean, the last date. She's been my wife for 10 years now. And what a wife she is. Not once in these 48 years that I've lived on this earth can I shake my fist in God's face and say, God, you don't know what you're doing. Because, friends, God knows what He's doing. If I do not live to get home today, God has not made a mistake. God never makes a mistake. We do. But God never does. Isn't that wonderful? We have a great God today. And I want to say with the first song we sang this morning, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. Our invitation hymn today is page 217. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made peace with God. If you're here as a Christian, maybe you don't know what day you were saved on, what day of the month or year or whenever. But I tell you this, there better been a time in your life when you met the Lord face to face. The Lord can save you today. He can lift you up and give you a song in your heart. So that you can say with a song Tom and Fred sang a while ago, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows as we stand to sing. Mm-hmm.